You're listening to DG Talks, a podcast brought to you by Delta Gamma. Each month, a Delta Gamma host will speak on a different topic, covering a wide range of interests for our sisters. We look forward to engaging with you on social media about other topics you would like to hear, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, sisters. My name is Christine Sostar McClellan, and I'm an alumna of the Alpha Phi chapter at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver, Canada. Whew! I'm the founder of One Tough Mother, the maker of the postpartum survival kit, jam-packed with the essentials that moms need to feel supported through pregnancy and prepared for birth and motherhood. Since graduating in 2009, I've sat on Alpha Phi's alumni board as its VP Communications, and for the full term, I had the pleasure of serving as Honor Board Advisor for Beta Gamma at the University of Utah. Then my life changed a little bit. In 2017, I had my first baby, a girl named Rowan, and 7 months ago, I had my son, Finn. But before I get into the topic of motherhood, I wanted to quickly share the story of how I came to join Delta Gamma. My best friend from high school, Brittany Kerr-Smith, was 1 year ahead of me, and she had encouraged me to come out for Rush when I started college. At the time, I just felt like it wasn't for me, and I ended up having a fun enough freshman year. Actually, up here in Canada, we just say first year, but honestly, you've got us there. Freshman is much more fun to say. So by the end of my freshman year, I remember feeling like I just didn't make the kinds of strong female bonds that I was used to having throughout high school. So the following year, I decided to take her advice and rush. And honestly, Delta Gamma was a no-brainer. It still is. So many of my closest friends have come to me through this organization. And I think what amazes me most about it is how it has grown with me. The opportunity to share about the topic of motherhood with you here today is case in point. After Rowan was born, I was left completely shocked by the emotional ups and downs of the postpartum period and of the demands of physical recovery. It was surprising to me to see the lack of cohesive information and support available for expecting and new moms. This was really the catalyst for creating my business. One Tough Mother's mission is to help moms feel excited, ready, and empowered throughout pregnancy and the transition into motherhood. So when I was approached to do a podcast on motherhood and balance for this Delta Gamma series, I was really excited. But then I kind of sat back and thought about it. You know, I've only been in the parenting game for just over 2 years. Though at One Tough Mother, we tend to believe that you are a mama the second you start growing and caring for that child, because it is hard work to grow a human. But even then, I'm clocking in at 3 years. You know, what do I know about motherhood and balance? This has been a pretty hot topic of debate for at least 4 decades. But I keep coming back to this idea. I think there's a lot to be said for how we enter motherhood. Maybe the difference in how balanced we feel later is how prepared we are at the beginning. How much do we know about what's to come? Have we been given adequate information to be empowered to set our lives up around this game-changing new period? Lately, I've been getting messages from women who aren't yet mothers, saying that they appreciate the insight into, and my fingers are up in the air here, real motherhood, that I shine a bit of light onto through One Tough Mother's social media feeds. I mean, I want to speak to all of you, moms, expectant mothers, and women in general, basically all the women for whom motherhood is a reality, or even just a future possibility, whether that's months or years away. I'm not exactly going to talk about balance and motherhood, but rather I'm going to candidly speak to a few big themes or issues that I believe will help set you up for success. In large part, I'm speaking to those who feel unprepared, those to whom people have said, "Motherhood is a totally natural experience. You'll be fine." Look, motherhood may or may not fit like a glove. It doesn't really matter, but it is not all natural instinct. There is a steep learning curve. For example, I wouldn't have, in my wildest dreams, thought on my own accord to put expressed breast milk on a newborn's apparently typical weeping eye. No, that's the kind of thing you need to be told. And the following items may or may not fall into that category, but I sure hope they help you succeed in one of life's greatest roles. So bodily autonomy. I think the most critical issue heading into motherhood is bodily autonomy. You can have a hospital epidural birth, an unmedicated home birth, a C-section, a VBAC, it doesn't matter. It's up to you. Like so many women, I was terrified of giving birth. After my kids were born, my mom even admitted that she wasn't sure I was going to have kids because of how afraid I was. So when I first got pregnant, I was certain that I would do the hospital epidural birth. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I have friends who chose this and they are really happy with their labors. That's what matters. The real problem is that I always kind of dreamed of having a water birth. I just didn't believe I could do it. And that's the script we need to flip. Yes, things happen and we can't foretell the future. We truly are blessed to live in a time where we can access high-level medical expertise when we need it. And this is not to overlook that so many women do not have their needs met, even in countries like Canada and America. But birth itself, it's not a medical emergency. For most women, the big piece that is missing is informed consent. Informed consent is your right. It means that you are fully aware at all times of what is happening to your body and that you are being given the information necessary to make a decision at all stages of your birth. The difference here is between being told that X or Y intervention is going to happen and being provided with information that will help you make a decision about whether to allow it to happen. The key here is to go into your birthing time with as much information as possible. I know that sometimes it can be tempting to say, hey, the less I know, the better. But I'm going to urge you to look into prenatal education courses and to talk to moms and to read as much as you can. In terms of literature, I personally love Ina May Gaskin's Guide to Childbirth. It's a bit hippy-dippy, but it reframed birth for me. It helped me see birth as a natural process that we just need to get a little bit out of the way of. Foundationally, it's about providing mothers with the tools that they need to have the kind of birth experience that they want. That doesn't mean that every single birth will turn out to be the fantasy we might be envisioning. I have my second, a far more challenging labor, as a testament to that. But you should never feel out of control. You are the mom, and the decisions that you make during labor, well, they are your very first parenting decisions. And just a quick note, we all have different strengths and personalities. It may not be realistic for us to decide that birth is our moment to speak up. Consider writing down your preferences and or having a trusted person like your husband or partner, a best friend, your mom, for example, understand what your wishes are. And additionally, this is largely the role that a doula plays. Whether you're having a home or hospital birth, it can mean a lot to have an advocate. Okay, the next thing I wish I had known anything about is infant sleep. I mean, we all know that, in theory, we will get less sleep when we have a baby. In fact, it is one of the first questions that new parents get asked. How's the sleep going? It's basically trope. So as someone who likes to call it a night pretty early and who used to enjoy at least 9 hours of sleep, this was on my mind going into parenthood. And it's a cruel truth that in the last month of pregnancy, you probably won't be sleeping very well, but everyone will be telling you to enjoy it while it lasts. The reality is that babies are just not born with the skill of sleep. It will be one of your earliest parenting tasks to determine how you want to approach this. There are many ways, and none are right or wrong except for you. You know, I can speak to my personal experience. Our first baby, like for so many new parents, was difficult. We experienced a perfect storm of new parenthood, ignorance about what this stage would entail, and unfortunately, some minor health problems that made our daughter's sleep pretty scarce right around the time that many families finally begin to feel some normalcy return. I'll never forget my daughter's 4-month vaccinations. My husband had to be at work, so my dad offered to come as support. I remember hearing the buzzer ring in the morning. Honestly, it had probably been ringing for 10 minutes. By this time, around 8 a.m., my daughter and I had been sleeping for about an hour. That's it. I mean, I'm usually a pretty organized person, but I remember finally cluing into what that noise was and running downstairs to buzz my dad in. He came to the door and I was in my pajamas with just like crazy hair and I had to get dressed and get my baby ready in 10 minutes to make it to our appointment. Then there we were, in the doctor's office for her 4-month vaccination, taking the standard issue postpartum depression questionnaire that they administer here in Vancouver. No, I'm not sleeping at least 3 consecutive hours a night, and oh, check, yes, I am crying every day. I just remember the community nurse putting her hand on my shoulder and saying, hey, what you are experiencing right now, it's more difficult than usual. We're going to check in again soon. And it was the first time in my postpartum experience that I had heard that message. Rather than constantly being told in that kind of joking meme way, hey, life has changed, get used to no sleep, she was saying, sleep deprivation is real and it is hard. It's also, thankfully, temporary. You will get through it. Trust me, I just got through 2 under 2 and I only aged about 10 years. But in all seriousness, one of my recommendations on sleep would be to read Healthy Sleep Habits, Happy Child. It's a scientific overview of what children's sleep needs are and what it means for their development to get appropriate sleep. And it really didn't look the way that I thought going into parenting. The third thing I want to talk about is breastfeeding. You know, how you decide or end up being able to feed your child, it will end up being one of the most contentious and difficult parts of early parenting. There are so many potential challenges. To name a few, there's low milk supply or milk flowing too quickly. There's tongue tie and latching issues, newborns who won't wake to feed. It can be painful. You can get bitten. Take my word for that. Babies can be too distracted to eat. You might feel uncomfortable feeding your baby in public. Many women don't have access to the help that they need to get breastfeeding started on the right foot. You know, we feel judgment for stopping too early. We feel judgment for stopping too late. There can be pain while pumping. And honestly, this is not a comprehensive list. It goes on and on and on. I went into motherhood blissfully unaware of how difficult this part of the journey would be. But between 2 children, I've experienced pain and difficulty establishing breastfeeding, but also success, even empowerment and connection sometimes. I've also experienced defeat, and the relief that it made me feel, and the guilt that followed. Wow, that's a lot for one person. Except it's not one person. It's almost every mother. Whatever your feeding journey is with your baby, you are not alone. And whatever you end up doing, you are doing the best thing for your baby. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. Here, the practical advice I have is just to do as much research as you can ahead of time. Find local support groups. Most cities have a Lilici League, for example. And go into the hospital with a plan. Do you want to delay latching and just do skin to skin for as long as possible? Do you want to use the 10% birth weight drop as the threshold for going to formula? You know, these are your decisions. And don't forget, your mental health matters a lot in the feeding equation. The fourth thing I want to talk about is judgment. I'm going to jump back to sleep a little bit here because it's an area where I felt so much judgment. Our family ended up doing the cry it out method, and I won't get into specifics on any method here, but the point is that you're going to know what's right for you, for your kid, and for your family. And there are many variables that are going to go into this or any decision. You know, in this case, you're going to think about your baby's weight, their nutritional needs, when parents are going back to work, what your long-term sleeping goals are, your tolerance for any one sleeping program, and on and on. There's no way for any outsider to know what's right for you. For my family, Cry It Out was right because I literally couldn't stay awake any longer. And still, I felt so insecure. I worried what people would think of me as a mom, and it was really painful. And it brings me to my next point, but I just want to say, when it comes to sleep, you're not going to screw up your kids. Seriously. If you are happy to have them in bed with you, that love will help them grow. Or if you want nighttime to be a time where kids and parents are separate, that's fine too. The most important element here is that you just don't do anything out of guilt. The reality is that everyone thinks that what they're doing, whatever it is the right way, especially on the internet. Don't read the comments. At some point, you will need to decide what's best for your family, and only you can know, because it's your family. Trust yourself and trust your gut, and I promise it's going to get so much better when you do. Okay. The final thing that I think is important to talk about is your relationship with your partner. The truth is, once your baby comes, you will probably fight. Even if you never or rarely did before. It's a huge adjustment period that's difficult for mom and dad, and the sleep deprivation does not help everyone perform their best. I have been with my husband for 13 years, and our dynamic has always been about equality, particularly where it relates to division of labor. I mean, we both have careers and we're both supporting our household, so there should be no reason for one of us to take on more of the childcare. But that's where the reality was kind of hard-hitting. I can only really speak to my own experience here, but there is something about the physical requirement on mothers, you know, like carrying, birthing, possibly feeding a baby with your literal body, and the hormonal shifts that accompany this, that puts a lot on moms. So without getting into specifics, there is often a period of readjustment in relationships. You will be doing yourself and your partner a kindness if you take some time to communicate about what your expectations and hopes are before the baby arrives. That's by no means, you know, a foolproof way to avoid conflict as you adjust to new parenthood, but opening the lines of communications, it's always a good idea. And, you know, it's very, very common to go through these bumps. So don't feel like you're alone if you are experiencing that. So, you know, in conclusion, while I'm not sure that I can impart upon you the perfect cocktail for having it all balanced, I certainly hope that this overview will help you as you enter or navigate new motherhood. And just a couple tips for those who want to know how to support their new mama friends. When you visit, make sure you are doing one of the following. You have either come bearing food, you are helping tidy, or you are holding the baby so mama can get some rest. New moms are not hostesses. Wash your hands. You know, this is such a tricky one for so many moms. No one wants to nag a guest to wash their hands, but it is so important for newborn health. And moms, just have some Purell on hand. So when someone asks if they can hold your baby, all you have to say is, sure, the Purell is over there. It's a little less awkward. And honestly, there's not much more to it. Just try your best to be understanding and supportive. We know that we've changed. We can feel it too. And it can feel like friendships might never be the same, but over time, I promise they will come out the other end. Your mama friends, they will be able to prioritize their friendships again. So thank you, sisters, for your time. And if you want more information on pre and postnatal life or motherhood in general, you can follow me on Instagram at @1_toughmother. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of DG Talks. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook at Delta Gamma.